Welcome to the forum called, "What did you come to Holden Village to receive and what did you come to Holden Village to give?" This is a forum that rose out of a discussion that the teaching staff had on Tuesday. We talked about what we thought was important to talk about, and this came up. This is a chance, I think, for people to say what they came to receive, not necessarily what they have received, and also to think about what they have to give, which they may or may not have had a chance to give. My name is Ingrid Christiansen. I'll be chairing the forum, and the panelists are David Wee, who is one of the co-coordinators of the program here this summer and who teaches at St. Olaf College, and Netter Hansen, who has, and oh, David arrived day before yesterday, but has come many times to Holden in the past, and will be here. The category I put him in is someone who is here less than 3 months on this occasion, but on staff. Netter Hansen is on the panel. She is has been living at Holden Village for forever and ever, 3 years maybe, about three
Almost.
Years. And she has been in charge of the publications of the village, and she's been a writer for the village during this time. So she's a long-term staff and really has a good sense of what this village is about in a long-term way. And Louise Williams is on the panel, and Louise is a guest here for the first time. She has been here 4 days or something like that. And she is Louise is the director of the Deaconess Program at Valparaiso University, and has been a valuable member of many classes in the last 4 days in this village of ours. I'm going to talk a little bit about what a forum is, but I think you all know, basically. It's a chance for you all to talk. The panelists will each lead off with just a few minutes. 3 to 5 minutes was the guideline I asked them to follow about their response to this question. And then, really, this is a chance for everybody in this room to talk about the question. So we hope that a forum will be a discussion, a freewheeling discussion about this issue. It's terribly important that people feel as though they can disagree with one another and that they can even express anger in this setting and not feel that they have to toe some party line or that they have to refrain from disagreeing. I think as Christians it's a good idea, it's important and valuable for us to come together and talk about all sorts of issues and freely converse and freely say what we think, and each of us bring our best thinking to the table. And if we each bring our best thinking to the table, we all benefit. So that's really the kind of format and idea behind a forum at Holden. And then obviously there are a few rules of discussion and communication that I always think people should follow. I think so because I'm a Northern European, maybe even because I'm a Norwegian. I understand that these are not obvious rules that everyone would value, but since I do and I'm chairing it, I get to say. So what I would ask is that people listen with respect, agree and disagree with respect, and that they don't dominate the conversation. That everybody gets a chance, everyone gets to talk, and it's not fun when one person talks on and on. I, however, am going to start by talking on and on, which I've already done, by reading you a brief poem, which I think relates to the topic in a nice way. It's Frost's poem, "The Gift Outright." And it talks about the gift of the United States of America, which was won by our predecessors here, and yet we didn't own it in some sense. So the gift was given and we hadn't received it because we hadn't made the land our own. We hadn't claimed it. So I've always liked this poem, and I thought it sort of related to the possibility that we receive the gift of Holden but only really claim it once we give something back to Holden. And once we give and have a sort of giving and taking relationship, I think changes the fundamental nature of our time spent here. And I think that's sort of an interesting notion that we ought to raise up and think about, both for guests and for staff. So here's what Frost has to say about the gift outright. The land was ours before we were the land's. She was our land more than 100 years before we were her people. She was ours in Massachusetts, in Virginia, but we were England's, still colonials, possessing what we were still unpossessed by. Possessed by what we now no more possessed. Meaning England. Something we were withholding made us weak until we found out that it was ourselves we were withholding from our land of living. And forthwith found salvation in surrender. Such as we were, we gave ourselves outright. The deed of gift was many deeds of war. To the land, vaguely realizing westward, but still unstoried, artless, unenhanced, such as she was, such as she would become. So that's what I have to say. Now, the panelists will each have a chance to say what they have to say. Netta, would you mind beginning?
Okay. As Ingrid said, I've been here almost 3 years. Next month, when I leave, it will have been 3 years. So, boy, thinking back about what did I come here to receive, I feel like I'm thinking back 3 years. Mm-hmm. But I guess even after I got here, there were things that came up that I wanted to receive while I was here. But initially, there were really three things that I consciously was aware of. I was living in Washington, D.C., and as you can imagine, it's a very different lifestyle in Washington, D.C. than in Holden. And I really wanted a change in lifestyle. It seemed like in Washington, the big emphasis was on working, and that took up most of everybody's energy, just putting your time into work, and you were expected to work overtime, and I had a job where they occasionally expected us to work around the clock, and it was a very materialistic culture. And that's one of the things that I wanted to receive from Holden was being shown a different way to live than that traditional way of working and consuming. And part of that was just that I could not seem to, I couldn't work enough to make enough money to consume as much as I was wanting to consume. Another thing that I wanted, and that probably doesn't occur to that many people, but Holden is a safe place, especially for a woman. And that's a big gift. Living in Washington, D.C., we lived in a safe part of town. Actually, we were right outside of D.C. in Maryland, but I worked in D.C., and you just daily heard about attacks and rapes and murders. And they did seem to occur in certain parts of town, but even before that, living in the Midwest, I was from Minnesota, and there's just constant violence against women. There's constant violence against everyone, but I really feel that women are particularly at risk, and I'd been here before and knew that this was a safe place, and so that was another gift that I wanted to receive. And the third, and I don't know if it's the most important or not, but was I wanted to come here because I felt this was, again, a safe place to do some spiritual exploration. I grew up in the Lutheran church. I'm married to a Lutheran pastor, but didn't really feel like that Lutheran tradition was meeting my spiritual needs, and in fact felt like it was thwarting them. But it seemed like whenever I would ask someone in the church about something, you know, language, why is God always a male, why is God a father, or, you know, questioned in some way, that I was always told that I was the problem, that there was no problem with the church or theology or liturgy. And having been here before, I was here once in high school and again after college, I knew this was a place where you could explore and ask questions and people would be respectful. One of my strongest memories of Holden, I came here as a high school student. My Luther League took the train out here, and I came to a Bible study, and I was actually asked for my opinion. And that had never happened to me before in the Lutheran Church. That as a woman and as a teenager, no one ever cared for my opinion before, and that was life-changing for me. I'll just quickly mention two unexpected things that I received. Wonderful friendships. When I came here, I guess I knew I'd meet people, but I didn't want to think I was going to make these lifelong friends, but that's something that's really happened here that's been wonderful, is just meeting people and connecting with them, and Holden is a really wonderful place for that. And the second thing is I really feel like I've opened up here, that certain people that I've come into contact with have really sort of come into my heart and taught me things, and that was very unexpected. And what did I come to give? I guess two things come to mind. One is kind of the obvious job skills. I, for 3 years, have worked here as the editor, and so I've worked on the publications and have brought a professional level of skill to my job. And I think that's been beneficial to the village. And the other thing that I probably didn't intentionally come to give, but is just everyone who comes here gives of who they are. And so I think, like everyone else, I've given that. And the things that come to mind are, I have considered myself to be a feminist for a long time, and I think that's a perspective that I've offered the village. Maybe not always publicly, because I'm not a very public person, but certainly individually I've offered that perspective. That's me.
Thank you, Mary. David.
Okay. I've only been here one day, actually. I just came in yesterday, so it seems even seems like I've been here a long time, longer than we have. I've phrased my remarks in terms of what we bring to Holden and what we take away. And I would guess that some of the things I have to say apply to lots of others of you. One of the things that I find myself bringing to Holden is a lot of baggage. And you know, probably all of you had the same experience we did. We packed for Holden and said, why do we need this much baggage? And for the little bit of time we're going to be there. So we did bring a lot of baggage. But the baggage I'm talking about is the other kinds of psychological baggage and spiritual baggage and the problems that we're beset with back home. You know, concerns about work, concerns about the family finances, concerns about the children and their need for employment, and all sorts of stuff that that we're carrying all the time, like baggage. And we bring those things here and we unload our baggage on other people. It's nice to have people who listen to us and talk about those things. But I find that every time I've come here with whatever baggage I've brought from elsewhere, I leave Holden without a lot of that baggage. And I was trying to figure out how to explain this. I think that I come with baggage and I leave with just a ticket, which is much, much easier to carry. Somehow, being here and having the gifts of grace and the community and hearing the gospel, I feel like I've got a ticket to a new life, a ticket to a different destination from the one I'm on normally when I'm back home. Always coming away with a sense that I'm I'm living life in a lighter way, with less baggage and with a different destination that I've got a ticket to. Different way of thinking about things, a different direction in my everyday life back home. And I think that's a wonderful exchange to leave all the baggage and come back with just a ticket. Another thing that I've come, and I think many of us do, come to Holden, come with a personal agenda. I think there's something I'm going to try to do when I'm at Holden. I've got a list of things that I want to happen. If there are things that I'm intending to give, if we come as a member of the teaching staff, if we come as a member of the volunteer working staff, we have a skill that we're going to be giving, and that's part of our agenda. And I always find that I'm coming away not with my agenda, but with somebody else's program. Because again, things get changed here. I remember the first time we ever came to Holden, sight unseen, was about 14 years ago, and I was taking a sabbatical leave. Hearing the Vespers tonight was reminding me a lot of this, but I didn't come with the intent to do nothing. I had a long list of things I was going to do, reading in Victorian literature, which is my teaching field and so forth. And I got almost none of my agenda done here. Mm-hmm. I thought, up there in the mountains, I'm going to have all this time, I'm going to be isolated, no committee meetings, no phone calls. And I found very quickly that there was so much that the village had to give me in terms of its riches and worship and education and conversation and hilarity, that I was letting that agenda, that program, fill up my time. And I found myself giving to this place in all sorts of ways that I had not anticipated. Pretty soon I was tutoring a high school senior in the history of British literature. Was giving talks on this and that. And I remember counting up when I came home, I made 40 presentations. My agenda in coming was to do none of those. So I came away not just with having given things that I had not anticipated, but again with somebody else's program. My agenda for living back home had been changed completely. We had a new concept of trying to live more simply, new understandings about worship. Marvelous Bible studies that we have heard. Bible study is not my favorite phrase, and yet come here and go to a Bible study and come back again and again because it's so enriching. So that's one of the things that has happened to us each time. I come with my agenda and leave with somebody else's program that I've adopted as my own, and it's a much better program than I had myself. And then the third thing, and the last thing that I'll mention for starters here, one of the favorite book titles of a textbook that I've used in my teaching before is simply Passionate Attention. It's a book about reading literature. And the author's main point is that when you care about something deeply, such as literature, you give it passionate attention. And most of us, when we read carelessly. We read quickly. We read for pleasure or diversion or something else. But when something is really important, we give our passionate attention to it. And I find that at Holden, I am bringing a passionate attention to all sorts of things. A lot of things I hadn't planned to, perhaps. But I find myself giving much more passionate attention to the scriptures, to worship and what happens in worship, to food, to the natural world, to this marvelous creation, to other people. There's time to give attention and care to other people, and more attention to myself than I do in the hurly-burly of everyday life back home. And then I find that other people are giving that kind of passionate attention back to me. That this is a place where people do listen respectfully to one another. I'm a college teacher, and I know the difference between passionate attention and boredom in the eyes of my students. See it every day, and you always tell. Here at Holden, the people who come to sessions, to classes, normally are here because they care a lot about the topic, or about the teacher, or about themselves. And they are giving passionate attention to things. And back home, we live amongst people who live carelessly and who don't give a sense of passion to the things they are attending to. So these are three things that have been very important to me, and ways that I find myself coming with one set of expectations, one agenda, a certain kind of baggage, and I find myself being changed and changing my direction and finding myself and others giving passionate attention to the most important things. And I always come away richer because of it.
Thank you, David. That was interesting. Louise.
Well, I should have confessed to you, Eva, that I can really only do half the assignment. Because this...
somehow I don't believe that.
Because this trip to Holden Village was literally a gift to me from the Board of Directors of the Lutheran Deaconess Association. And I noticed that in the bookstore and in the library, you have some books on Enneagram. I don't know if any of you have worked with that, but I'm a two, which is a helper, a giver. And so coming to Holden really for me is an exercise in receiving. Mm-hmm. First the ticket and the reservation and all of those things, but then to come with the intention of not giving in the way that I usually do. So when you ask for volunteers to wash dishes, I sit on my hands, even though I could do that. So I came very much expecting to receive. Now I know enough about myself and about human community to know that simply by being here and being who I am, that I will be giving. I almost said hopefully be giving.
For example, you're on the panel today.
I know, and I almost said no to that, but then I thought, well, I don't know. So I came here with some agendas, not unlike the ones that you said, some of which I knew I would have some difficulty already before I came in living out, because I've been influenced by Holden for a long time, even though this is my only my first visit here in person. But almost 30 years ago, one of my college roommates had been a Holden volunteer, so I saw pictures and heard about Holden way back then. And periodically since then, my life has very much been influenced by Holden, and that many of my colleagues from Valparaiso have been on the staff here and have been guests here. Some of the students that I work with have spent time here as volunteer staff, and they come back wearing Birkenstocks and finally understanding something about inclusive language or things like that. So I knew that I would have trouble with one of my agendas, which was some solitude, because I knew that there would be interesting people here and that it would be hard to be alone, to take some time alone. But I have managed to do a bit of that. But maybe not as much as I might have hoped. But that's not disappointing. I really came to get away, to be away from telephone and mail and the kinds of questions and demands that I face most days of my life. I came away, I like your passionate attention, and because I came here to do some listening to myself, to God, to nature, and this is an easy place to do that in, I think. I came here to read, and I brought some books, and I've enjoyed the library, but like you, I haven't turned as many pages as I thought I might have. I came to get some exercise, to do some walking, to be outside, to get some sun on my face, and I've done that. I came to pray, and I've been able to do that alone and with others. And, I love the Haugen Vespers. We use them with the Deaconess students quite regularly, so it was kind of nice to sing the Vespers here in their original setting in this community. So I came expecting to receive a lot, and I am. And I came not planning to give, but I suppose knowing that I would. And as I'm here, as you were talking about the Frost poem, I am very much conscious of things that I could offer to this community, and skills that I have that could maybe someday will be used here in another way.
Thank you, Louise. Well, you've heard what our panelists have to say. Now it's your turn. So I invite your comments and your questions, and if you want to respond to things you've heard already, that's fine, or if you want to tell us what you came here to receive and what you feel you have given and how that feels to you.
Oh, a couple comments. Louise, lawns and gardens need some help tomorrow.
I was just testing to see how deep that really was.
I have a question of David. You're talking about psychological baggage, which totally intrigues me, not only the terminology, but the whole concept of it. And I'm wondering if, through your experience of bringing all this baggage to Holden and then staying here whatever length of time you stayed, and going back to your place of residence and work, does that psychological baggage return quickly, or is it truly a healing experience being here? Or is it just in the moment? I mean, I can feel my baggage lifted, but I also fear that when the boat hits ground, that the baggage is going to come right along with me. Like maybe it's just packed in some little duffel bag in the closet, and I'll just be carrying it back. So I'm curious in terms of whether it's actually gone for good or...
Oh, for me, most of it comes back. And those bags just fill up without any effort on my part all over again. But probably not all of it. You know, one of the things that happens here is that you tend to get a different perspective on what really matters in life. And I realize the psychic energy that I expend back home on things for which life is too short for me to be worried about, bothered about. And I can think about that here with some objectivity and promise myself, and sometimes for at least a long period of time, I cannot get myself excited about real trivialities that we all face every day. Don't get bothered as much by the little impediments of somebody not showing up on time or the store not having what I went there to buy, or, you know. And realize that these things don't matter, and I can live for quite a while on the benefits of being at home. We came back as a family, our first time, you know, determined to do some strong efforts about living a simpler life. And you know, that's really tough in our culture. Some people, and I admire them greatly, you know, manage to cut back and live more simply. And we've made some good steps in that regard, but a lot of things we haven't been able to achieve. So a lot of it comes back.
Don't worry.
for me, but maybe.
They're moving and interfacing between one kind of activity and another, or looking for a new direction in their life. Is there anyone here who can comment on that, as how that works in their lives?
Yeah, I can. I'm Colin Harold. And I came here in 1980, and John and Mary Schramm were teaching lifestyle changes and simplification of lifestyles. And so what I did, I left here and I build and buy and sell land and things. And so I would go out and I would buy properties that nobody else would want. And I capitalized off of their philosophy, by hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars by just acquiring what other people don't want to buy or other people don't want to use in our society. It's an absolute smorgasbord out there when you think of what we learn at Holden if you put it to work on the outside world. We're in such a large throwaway society that you can acquire many, many things at anywhere from nothing to when I say nothing, I acquired two truckloads of brick, marble, block, and building materials for $100, which if I would have had to pay list price for it, it would be worth $3,500. And the man had so much money that he didn't even want it. That's just one example. And I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. Surplus property that people do not even think nothing of.
So you're basically saying that yes, something that happened to you here at Holden did change the way you thought about.
Oh, absolutely. And then when I benefit from something like this, then I can donate properties to the church as well, which I do. Mm-hmm. You know, when I have so much surplus property myself, then in turn I donate it away.
How about somebody else? Are there more? Is there someone else that has had a similar experience? You know what? People who have come here and changed their focus or direction, or felt like they've gotten rid of stuff, the baggage that they came with, or anything in that. Line. Elizabeth, you look like you're about to say something.
Well, no, I have. You know, I never been to Holden before. You know, 22 months ago when we came here. And I haven't been part of the village very much, but about 3 weeks ago we went to the Synod Assembly and Spokane, and one of the things that really overwhelmed me, and I just didn't feel good about it at all, was eating out the portions in the restaurant and the food that was served. It was so much. Mm-hmm. It was just terrible. And
so
good to be back to Holden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that may not have struck you so strongly if you hadn't spent time here.
Not as much. No. No. And it seemed like everybody were able to eat. You know. Too much.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just thinking, I've been here for 7 weeks, and you talked about the rat race. I was working 12-hour shifts in a large hospital. This is like a breath of fresh air for me. I mean, it's no technology, no phones, no fax machines.
And life does go on, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I'm just trying to get rid of all my stuff before I came, all these possessions. Finally, I just gave a lot of things away. And as my daughter said to me, you know, Mom, I've had to go through things twice and I've never missed anything. I've never missed it. And I thought, oh, that's good. I haven't missed any of the stuff I gave away either. In fact, I'm moving over to another chalet and I'm looking at the stuff I burned.
What did you come to Holden Village to receive? And what did you come to give? Somebody else have a response.
Okay. Now I'll tell my story. I came to Holden 3 years ago last March. I had a friend at home who liked to ski. He said, let's go out to Holden and go skiing. I like to ski. I had worked at a Bible camp at home, so I have a love for Bible camps too. And so we decided to come out and go skiing. Well, he was going to Portland to visit, and I was supposed to meet him in Chelan to catch the boat up on a Monday morning. We didn't get together before he left for Portland to make his visit. But I got there. Only find that he wasn't there, so I came up to Holden all by myself. I didn't find the skiing all that great, and there was only 6 guests here at that time. But I had a good time. Of course, once you're here, you get your name on the mailing list, and I'm a divorced man, and so I found out about the singles emphasis week 2 years ago, and said, I'm going to go out to that, which I did. I really enjoyed that, too. Really had met a lot of great people, and a lot of whom I still pen pals with. Well, this is the hard part. About two weeks ago, I lost my brother, who had had a year-long battle with cancer. And I'm all, like I say, I was a divorced man, and to keep myself, keep myself busy to deal with the pain and hard times of being living in us living singles, and so I, like I say, I keep myself real busy. Sometimes I think too busy. Any of you that are acquainted with Lutheran Brotherhood, I'm the fraternal communicator for my church in the Bible camp, and we've had some big projects there that we've been working on. At our Bible camp, we have a Memorial Day work retreat, which I attended, and so I put in about a week there, 14, 16-hour days, and dealing with my brother's death and these long hours, I was just plumb beat. My brother's funeral was just a week ago last Tuesday. And I said, I got to get away for a while. I got to go someplace where I can get some R&R. And I thought to myself, what better place than to come out to Holden for that. So Wednesday morning after my brother's funeral, I went down and sent my application in and my down payment to come to Holden. And well, I found that R&R and some relief and some good times. I just thank Holden and all the wonderful people that I met for what they've done for me this last week. When I look at what if I get back to Holden, not near as much as I've received, I'm sure, but like I say, I met a lot of wonderful people and shared with them, and hopefully that's what I will be doing this week too. I've met a lot of good people, and I can share with them and give back to some of them what they have given me this week.
Well, you've just given all of us a great deal just now, so thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for telling us about that. Someone else.
I can simply say that where Ed is concerned, you can't measure what people give. And I think all the singles who know him and have known him feel he's been one of our biggest contributors. we just are grateful.
Yeah. And we're sorry that you're having this pain.
Well, it's really another pain. My brother was and my best buddy. We fished and hunted and spent all our lives together in the same town. And he was a good Christian man, so I know where he is this day. He's gone through a lot of pain and suffering this last, especially the last few months, and so it's a relief and a blessing to know that that's over with, you know. But it's still some sting there, but like I say, I'll get through that. Okay.
Thank you.
As a Methodist minister, I have always been tremendously impressed that this Lutheran Conference Center makes Methodists and Catholics and everybody else feel like we're part of the family. Mm-hmm. And I've heard about this place for 15 or 20 years. People have been urging me to go. In fact, my daughter hiked in from the north about 15 years ago, enjoyed it. And then, being single 5 years ago, I learned about the Singles Week. It had one before, and so I've come back every year. This is my fifth Singles Week, and I think my year would feel incomplete without it.
And I expect Singles Week would feel incomplete without you.
Ponder that a while. But I come because this responds to so many things that are in my mind and my heart. I find here intellectual stimulation. I find here genuine worship. I find here people who are creative, and innovative, and having fun. And I need this terribly. And just the companionship is enough to come for. But to be in this setting, the most beautiful setting, with a staff that is always first rate and a program that's first rate, and it's even something I can afford. So I've probably told hundreds of people that this is my utopia. Somebody asked me the other day, why did you come? I said, this is heaven. Why? Why else? Well, it's about as close to heaven as any spot I know on earth.
And, woo!
Hyperbole, if you choose, but it's been terribly meaningful. Also, the fact that it seeks to be a center for church renewal. And this has long been one of my chief concerns. I wrote a thesis on the subject. And perhaps if I can contribute something, maybe sometime in the future, I can help it fulfill itself in that direction a little more than it has. Perhaps the only thing I'm contributing now is asking a lot of questions in the midst of discussions. And I do believe that discussion is the third sacrament of the church, and I want to encourage more and more. Thank you.
Thank you. I have an additional comment about, I talked about one of the reasons quitting my job and doing something different. But one of the gifts that I have gotten is that many of the people that I have met here are people that I otherwise probably would never meet. And where I was working before, even though I was working in a hospital, but I mean, most of these people that I meet here are healthy. And I'm not really, I don't usually let people get too close to me. I mean, intimately in, you know, the hospital, I'm the nurse and so forth, that kind of situation, but in general, I'm in control in that situation, and they're out of control, but I feel sort of out of control. And it's scary, but I've learned a lot. And it's interesting. So
the gift you've gotten is the gift of being out of control. That sounds good to me.
Well, you know, I know that in my mind, that I don't have much control, but
well, I think that's important, Gail. I think that it's important for people to get what they need here. And if you needed to give up some of that control and live a different way for a while and let people get closer to you, that's a gift. That's wonderful. That you've just identified.
Thank you.
How about spiritually?
the people get what they want here, or what they need, or how do you look for spiritual gifts? Mm-hmm. Something we all put a lot of stock in Holden giving us, I think. And I don't know how that happens for people, and whether it happens, and what form that takes.
I think for me it helps to re-root living in the world, which we all have to do, but maybe not so much of the world. Mm-hmm. If it's real, you know, man piling kinds of stuff, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so, I just not even possessions, but just, you know, thinking you need to do this or need to do that and so forth. So I think that each time that I come here, it gives me an opportunity to treat people to have all of that peace kind of renewed about treating people differently and even more respectfully. And so I just think, for me, it's because I have to live in the world, but not maybe so much of it. It helps very much for that.
I'm going to ask you the question that Anne asked a while ago. Does that last for you when you get out of here? Can you take that with you?
Yeah, I take it with me in in spirit, but then I have to put visual reminders there for myself. Like Dan McNeil said, if he was here, he'd... Let's see, what did he say? It was something like, can you take a sip of bliss when you're choking on all this unhappiness? Mm-hmm. And I wrote that down, and I will do it in calligraphy. And I always take home 4 or 5 visual pieces, and I put them where I need to put them, like right when I walk in my front door, and it really helps. It really helps me. Mm-hmm. And it can kind of bring that back for a while.
Good. That gives us some hope. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Berlin, did you?
Well, when I first came to Holden for the summer, it was back in 75 or 76, and I was just getting ready to go in seminary, or I was in seminary, and one of the things that was difficult for me in seminary is that there was this sort of box where the pastor was supposed to be, and you had to act a certain way and present yourself a certain way and use certain language to be a pastor. And when I came here, Carol Hindley at that time was the director, and one of his big things was that God was constantly taking, I think he said, taking sinners and turning them into kings and queens of the gospel. And I really felt that when I came here. I felt that the way I presented things, my way of looking at scripture was, you know, was okay. It too was a part of, you know, of the whole. And I left, and I went to, you know, finished up seminary and everything and worked in the church. But I've come back to Holden twice since then, and then the third time I've been here almost 3 years. And that's one of the things about Holden that has never changed, as far as for me anyway, is the fact that Holden accepts you where you are spiritually, and then gives you plenty of room and encouragement and food to grow and stretch and that sort of thing. And for me, when I've left Holden, I've always felt that there's one place out there where people can go and they don't have to be a certain way. So much of the church is, you have to be a certain way to even be in the church. And I worked in Washington, D.C. with low-income and homeless people. And a lot of those people don't go to church simply because they're not welcome there. They don't look right, they don't talk right, they don't dress right, that sort of thing. And Holden has always held up for me the model that you know, that Christ accepts you as you are. So It lasts for me when I leave here. Even if I never come to Holden again, it's reassuring to know that it's there, that there's a place like that out there, like this out.
Good, yeah. That same thing was very true for me. I felt very disaffected from the church, and was the healing for that began and was carried forward by Holden, so that rings true in my life too. Christian?
I like the idea of the young man who just said, realizing that things which seem to be junk don't have to be junk. I've been here for almost 11 weeks in Holden Village, and I'm going to leave very soon. And if I look back, I am getting pretty unsatisfied with the things I gave to the community and also the things I received. And I might think, well, I did many mistakes here and things didn't go as well as I thought it would be. But I think it's wonderful that those thoughts in my mind are not true necessarily, because I think Jesus can make very good things with my stay here in Holden Village, even though I don't know them right now. It's like, perhaps I will realize that in later, perhaps in a few years. And even if I won't realize it at all, I think I received many good things. And I also think I offered many good things.
Good. I think I agree with that analysis from what I've seen. I wonder whether somebody is disappointed or angry or upset or feels like they came here with expectations for something that they didn't get and that they feel cheated. Here you plunked down your money and you went through all this effort to get here and it's so far from everywhere and you got here and you're mad. Keith.
As long as I can't talk profoundly. I feel it's in the form of a wish. I wish that there would be a little bit more sharing of likable things, you know, things that you like to do between the ages of staff people. I find that it's either or rather than and many times. And if there was ever anything that was negative in my mind, I think that would be it.
Not enough cross age stuff going on?
Well, I guess it's rooted in the fact that bringing up my children or bringing up our children, I had all these thoughts that I wanted to share with them, but then when they got to the age of high school, they want to do their own thing. And I think there's so much that can be shared or taught or caught from older people and vice versa, because I get real energized being around younger people. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be just an old curmudgeon, you know. So,
chances are slim, I think.
But I find that sometimes you catch the thought that some of the things that were fun in our lives are not even an option to like by the younger people. And because that would be kind of square, and no one wants to be square. But that's it might be a figment of my imagination, but that's just what I'm catching, you know, that kind of subliminal.
Thank you. Now, okay, we've got one person who said a complaint. Let's get some more. We have another one over here.
I'm primarily happy here, but I have a couple of things that didn't quite live up to my expectations. I'm a staff person here, and I don't... This whole concept of community... I was in the Lutheran Volunteer Corps, and that was a very different community other than 7 other people. And I know that was... That's, things are going to happen when you've got only 7 of you as opposed to 400, but I don't really feel in community with the guests here. And that might be because they don't stay very long, but it's also, you know, because they don't really work either. I mean, I know that it takes some money to make the place float, but I feel like when I'm in my Waitri uniform, they don't see me as part of their community. And maybe this is baggage that I bring too, but I feel sort of like I'm working at a resort or something, and that I'm seen as sort of someone who's facilitating their stay, but that they're not seeing that gift that I give, that I'm volunteering all this time. And I think I read in Surprising Gifts that volunteers allow guests to knock off about 25% of their overall costs. But I hate to get petty like that, but it just kind of eats at me sometimes. And another thing that kind of concerns me, and probably because I'm a waitress in the kitchen area a lot, I notice this, but I was hoping to be challenged by Holden, the food philosophy. And I think we've had meat every single day, sometimes twice a day, and that's eating way too high on the food chain, in my opinion. And I don't think it's challenging people to take these things back home with them and try to live more simply. I think most of the people that come to Holden are looking for a challenge, and I'm not getting a challenge in that respect from Holden. There are other little things too, like food waste and stuff, but that's a roomy idea of it.
Thank you. Anybody want to respond to that or add to it, bring out their own points?
I think perhaps it points to me for a few times during the summer when there are discussions involving both staff and whatever we are, guests.
Whatever you
want. To simply discuss things like this with staff and guests together, discussing them, because there must be some answers.
How about at mealtimes? Do people sit at tables where there are guests and staff together, and do you talk? Does that work?
It's hard to invest that emotional energy when they're going to be leaving soon, the guests.
Allison?
I guess I lived here for a year in 91 and 92, and now I'm back for the summer. There's a lot of talk about, you know, Holden hospitality and that being one of the primary things that we all ought to focus on. And I have a really hard time going out of my way, especially during the summer with so many people, sitting down at a table with guests, with people that I don't know, because I find myself answering the same questions over and over and over again, and starting at square one and, you know, taking an hour of every single day, repeating my name, repeating my work area, repeating how long I've been here, where I'm from. And I realize how important it is to people who come here for a short period of time or for the first time. You know, they're eager to know these things and want to know what Holden's about and who is here and why. But I can't do that every day. I come here for my own personal retreat and rest, and it's true that I'm a volunteer and not a paying guest, but I've chosen to come for some of the same reasons that guests pay, to sort of get away from hecticness. And I can't always give in that way. I feel that I give in a lot of ways to this community, but it's not often on that surface level of chit-chat with people that I don't know. And sometimes I wonder if that's something I should work harder at or not. I usually choose not to, and once in a while have these pangs of Lutheran guilt about